Portion of tonight, what I wanted to share. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost?
Yes, thank God. Amen.
I feel His liberty. There's something briefly I'll share with you tonight, and then we'll pick it up again Sunday morning if God will. Verse 51, we'll just read that tonight. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. A few thoughts more tonight about the perseverance of Christ. Would you say amen to God's word?
Amen.
You may be seated this evening. I shared with you last Wednesday night about Christ, when the time he could have been received into glory, should have been received into glory, due to his perfecting humanity. He came off the mountain, he descended twice. He first descended from heaven to earth, and then he descended from the Mount of Transfiguration to the cross to go and to die for us. The Bible says that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He knew his destiny. And he set his face to fulfill it. I am going to say this to you right here. I believe this with all my heart, that if you are going to make it in this last hour, you're going to need that kind of attitude. You're going to need that kind of determination. If there is anything in you that can go back, you will go back. If there is any sense in you that there is a little half-heartedness, there's a little reservation, there's some reluctance somewhere, there's some sense of you that is not quite committed, this hour is going to reveal it. Because I will tell you, we are going to need a resolve and a determination like we have never had. Why must he steadfastly set his face? Why must he so take and adopt this kind of determination? Because I will tell you, everything that no doubt can happen will happen in an effort to try to thwart or stop or hinder the progress of Jesus Christ to the cross of Golgotha's hill. I will tell you, it is the last thing that the enemy wants is for him to arrive at the cross of Calvary. The last thing the devil wants is for Jesus to die, because the cross will be his undoing. The cross will be the devil's defeat and the victory of the Lord. The victory is not final until Jesus Christ will go and lay down his life and give it for his sheep. I will tell you right now, that unless he is able to bury the seed, no life can come forth from the seed. Unless he is willing to give up his life in the way that God has designed. The Bible said he was delivered up by the predeterminate and forecounsel of God, the forecounsel and the foreknowledge of God. He was delivered up to the cross there to die for us. But now we see in Jesus Christ this resolve that says, I am going unto Jerusalem. And that's why I just want to share with you a few things here tonight, and we'll pick it up again Sunday morning. And why this, or what is this business of Jerusalem? What was he headed to? How did he see Jerusalem? Again, he was under no kind of delusion as to what he was headed to. Let's fast forward in the Gospel of Luke just a little bit here tonight, over to chapter 13, if you will. And we will see the attitude of Jesus toward Jerusalem, and his vision, his concept, his knowledge of this city. All Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time comes when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
He is going to Jerusalem. And what does he expect to find at Jerusalem? In verse 34, he tells us he's going to a place that is known to kill the prophets and stone them that are sent unto you. And that's exactly what he is. He just mentioned in the verse prior to it, in verse 33, it cannot be that a prophet perish out or outside of Jerusalem. He is going to Jerusalem because there is where the prophet is determined, or it has been determined that the prophet should perish. Jerusalem, in some sense, the central city. It's the temple, or where the temple is located. This is the capital of the nation. This is the seat of the throne. And here the final decision will be handed down. And here the court will rule and adjudicate and condemn the Lord to death. It is here. The prophet will not perish outside of Jerusalem, but the prophet will be judged in Jerusalem. He will die outside of the city, but there is where he will go to die. He mentions, I am going to go up to Jerusalem, and I will suffer at the hands of the elders, at the hands of the chief priest, at the hands of the scribes, at the hands of the civil authority, at the hands of the religious authority, at the hands of the moral authority. In other words, Jesus says, I am headed to a place of hostility. I'm headed to a place of antagonism. I'm headed to a place that doesn't like me. I'm headed to a place that will kill me. I'm going to a place where they will nail me to the cross. And yet he has determined to go. I'm going to tell you right now that you and I have got to have this kind of determination, because we are facing more hostility in our land than we have ever faced before. It's not that folks simply disagree with us. It's not that folks simply would like to be able to have another religion. They are bent on destroying Christianity. They are bent on erasing and excising Christianity from this planet or from this nation. I can tell you, they don't want any vestige. They don't want any imprint. They don't want any idea or evidence left and remaining that Christianity is alive and well in America. We are facing an increasingly hostile world. And I'm telling you, you and I better prepare ourselves. He must set his face, because he knows, I'm going where the prophets are stoned. I'm going where to the city where they are known to put them down and to destroy them. And the ones that have sent unto you. He will even speak a parable later to the Pharisees. How that the prophets were, or that they were, there was one sent from the Lord of the harvest to get the harvest. And he sent servant after servant. After servant, and they beat the servants and kill one, destroy and send him out in shame. Finally, he says, I'll send my son to them. They will reverence my son. But they said, no, this is the heir. Let's kill him, and then we can have it all. I'm going to tell you, he's going to let them have it all, but no more, and they will destroy him, and they will kill him. What's your point, Brother Woods? It's simply this, that you and I've got to understand, we've got to set our face like a flint. We got to preach to that world, even though they're hostile. We got to take the gospel to them, even though we know they're going to reject us. We got to take the gospel to them, even though we know they're going to spit in our face. They're going to get, some of them going to come and say, we think you're doing a great job. But when it gets down to the rubber meets the road, they'll join the crowd and turn against us. I'm here to tell you, you better set your face. I'm going to do the will of God, and I'm going to be faithful unto God all the way to the end of this journey.
Amen.
He is sent to a city that he knows is not only hostile toward him, but this city is also defiant. How oft would I have gathered you under my wings as a hen does her brood? How oft would I have done that? In other words, here is a city that has had the hand of mercy extended toward it again and again and again. Here is a city where God has stood over it and wept and extended his arms. I wonder how often God has outstretched his arms to the nation of America. I wonder if we could see him the times, the nights across this land as darkness would fall across the nation, and wickedness after wickedness in the churches, as we see the compromise and the indifference and the complacency that goes on. And yet we hear the voice of God speak and thunder unto us. And yet we see our God with his hands outstretched. How often, he said, would I have done that? How often would I have protected you? A storm is coming. And I'm telling you, a storm is coming to America. Oh, we may get to reprieve, and God may be gracious unto us, but it will not prevent the ultimate hand and the judgment of God from coming. And because somewhere the sin has got to be paid for, somewhere the sin has got to be able, judgment has got to come. But I wonder tonight how oft, how much mercy has been rejected, how much we have spurned the love of God, and how much we've turned it aside. And yet even now, he is going to that city, and again, he will reach out to it one more time. He will march in on the donkey, and he will show his glory and his power. He'll teach them. He'll tell them of the things to come, and he will prophesy again to the very city that will destroy him. We live not only in a hostile world, but in a defiant world. I'm amazed at the lack of fear, at the irreverence, the lack of the sense of the sacred. Nothing is sacred. Nothing is taboo anymore. Talk about anything, any way you want to talk about it. And there is nothing that has that sense of high and loftiness, nobility among us. Yeah. We become base like beast. And this defiance is there, that even when you reach out with arms of mercy, even when you extend yourself in compassion, there is the defiance. I hear the last words of those people that thought they were glorifying God, and that somehow they claim to be the people of Jehovah. These are the people who say that we are of Abraham. These are the people who say that they are not born of fornication. They are not illegitimate children. They are indeed the descendants of Abraham. But yet I will hear them in Pilate's judgment hall make the declaration, "We have no king but Caesar. We have no king but see what happened to Jehovah? What happened to the great God of Israel? Even if you reject this Jesus and you don't believe him as Jehovah, then you understand something. You have still rejected the God that made you. You have still rejected the God that delivered you out of Egypt. You've still rejected the God of your forefathers. When you said, 'We have no king but Caesar,' they spoke the truth. Because I will tell you right now, they had rejected God the Father and God the Holy One. A long time ago, like their fathers, they were filling up the sins of their fathers, and upon that generation would become all the blood and all of the judgment that ought to fall. The last generation would experience the outpouring of the judgment of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
He would tell the prophet, "You're going to a hard and rebellious house, and I'm going to make your face like a flint." Jesus sets his face, "I'm going to Jerusalem. It's not going to be easy. I'm going to a land of hostility. I'm going into an area where they will defy me and reject me even the last hour." I think even as he's going up there, the things that he will do to reach out to them. And we must remember that although I know this world as a whole is going to reject us, there's a defiance against Christianity. But let us raise up and set our face that we're not going back. We came here for this purpose. God raised us up in this area 22 years ago, and he put us here for a reason. He knew where we'd be in 2016. He knew the challenges that we would face. If 22 years ago we had no clue that we would be here tonight and facing the challenges we're facing in our nation. But there's one thing we're not going to do, and that is we're not going back. That's the destiny God has set for us. God has sent us to preach to a rebellious nation. God has sent us to preach to a hostile land. But in the midst of the hostility, he'll raise a Lazarus from the dead. Glory to the Lamb of God. In the midst of the defiance, he'll raise up Lazarus from the dead, and there will be those that believe. There may be the multitudes that fall away, but there will be brethren gather themselves around. There'll be a Nicodemus. There'll still be a Peter and a James and a John. There'll be a Mary Magdalene. There'll be a Simon the leper. There'll be men that'll come and give their hearts to God and will cry out for the salvation. There'll be a dying thief that says, "Remember me in your kingdom, O God." Finally, you'll notice in verse 35, he says, "Your house is left to you desolate."
He sees Jerusalem as hostile. He sees it as defiant. He sees it as desolate. The word desolate here means wilderness. It's the same word. Jerusalem, you're a wilderness. You're desolate. A couple of things I want to note from it. He actually talks about the desolation thereof. Let us notice it over in Luke's gospel, chapter 21. Just go a little bit further. In verse 20 of chapter 21. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Whose land is desolate. Your house is left desolate. And now in his final prophecy at the temple, he is going to say, you know, when the armies come up to compass about Jerusalem. In the year AD 70, Vespasian was the leader of the Roman army. And he went out leading them because about 3 years in AD, for 3.5 years or so before, in AD 66, there was an uprising among the Jews, and they just basically said, you know, we're going to go against Rome. We're going to get our land back. We're going to take this thing back. I'm going to tell you right now, you try to do anything and Jesus is not on your side, and you are destined for failure. You are destined for destruction, my friend. Had they come unto him, he would have been their salvation, but they rejected him, and now they're going to try it on their own. We'll whip the Roman government. We'll overcome them and we will beat them. And so they finally, the armies of Rome will come. And as they are headed towards and that land to put down the uprising, they are destroying city after city. Finally, they will come as they're approaching under Jerusalem and the armies are compassing about. Their Nero is going to die, and the Roman army is going to declare that Vespasian is the new emperor. And so he will return to Rome and say that to take the robes and to take up the position of the Caesar, of the emperor over the nation, the empire of Rome, if you will. And then what he will do before he goes is he puts it in the hands of his son Titus. And he says, Titus, you're going to finish this up. Titus becomes the general of the army. And now he comes and besieges Jerusalem. They lock it up. Folks cannot get out. I mean, they are starving. They come to the place. They're taking and eating the leather off their shields. They will do anything. One has even eaten a portion of her own child. They will go and give even as much, a lot of money for just a little bit of dove's dung. That's how bad it is in Jerusalem. The city is literally starving. They're fighting among themselves. There's no unity among them. And finally, the Roman army will break through and destroy them. I mean, thousands are going to be slaughtered by the Roman army. They will tear the temple down, and not one stone. On August the 30th of AD 70, the very same day, several years before, that the leader of the Babylonian army tore the temple down in 586 BC, on the very same day, 600 and some years later, August the 30th, the temple will fall the second time. There is no hope without Jesus Christ. There is no hope without Jesus Christ. The land will be left desolate, and there it is going to be, because I'm telling you, church, without God, the world becomes a wilderness. There's no spring, there's no life, there's no joy, there's no hope whatsoever. Amen. Notice something. There's something that happened interesting. He told him this. This prophecy of Jesus was preached. Luke wrote his gospel and wrote it down, and it will be told again and again. Well, from what I understand, that in the historical records, they have no record of a Christian perishing in the fall of Jerusalem. Because when they saw the armies, that was the sign. When they saw the armies begin to compass the city, there was still opportunity to leave the city. Before it was besieged and the armies are coming and marching against it, he said, then those that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains. Those in the midst of it, depart out, and let them not that are in the countries, or said, and let them not enter or go to the countries that are round about, he said. In other words, the idea said, these are the days of vengeance, that all the things written may be fulfilled. But I'm telling you, that's exactly what they did. Those Christians
Egyptians who knew the prophecy. They'd heard about it and they knew it, what it, the sign was. And so when they saw the armies, I know the Holy Ghost was dealing with them as well. I tell you what they did. They got the things. They got out of town and they went into the neighboring cities. They went into the other parts around there and fled. And there they would hide and there they would dwell, safe from the wrath and safe from the judgment of God. I am going to tell you this right here. No matter what comes, God's got a refuge. My wife said tonight, there's a burned over place. There's a place you can get in. God is our refuge and our strength, a present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the mountains be removed. Oh, I'm telling you, my friend, though the waves of the sea shake and roar, we will not be fearful, but we will put our faith in our God, and we cannot fail, for He is with us all the way to the end.
Amen.
Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. You notice what he says, your house is left unto you desolate. That's what it become in the beginning of his ministry. When he cleansed it in John's Gospel chapter 2, when he cleansed the temple, he called it the house of his Father, the Father's house. And all on the last day of his ministry, in the fourth time or so, then he's going to come in. And he comes in those final days of his ministry and cleanses the temple. He calls it my house. It's written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves. And he calls it my house. But now the judgment is coming. And when he sees the desolation coming upon it, he now doesn't call it Father's house. He doesn't call it his house. He calls it your house. That's what it is. If you reject the Father's rule, if you reject the Son's rule in your life, then I'm telling you can have your house. Go ahead, you can gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, what have you gained? I'm telling you, that's what it is. And there's a folks today, they want to make it their America. They want to make it not an America that is subject unto God Almighty, but they want it to be their nation. They want to mold it in the eyes of their gods and of their philosophies. And I'm telling you, God will one day say it's yours. You can have it, but it's your house and it's desolate. It's a wilderness. If you take God out of the picture, you've got nothing left. When you remove Jesus Christ, you've got nothing left but death and darkness and defeat.
Amen.
Glory to God. So that's where we are tonight. I do believe, and I don't think it takes a college education to figure it out. Never have I seen such hostility. Hostility that is inexplicable. Tell me something. What have Christians really done to truly offend this crowd? Except for one thing, and that is to denounce their evil ways. We have not picked up a stone to stone them. We have not denied them access to the courts. We have not denied them access to the halls of the Congress of the United States. We have not locked them up in a concentration camp. We have not taken the nation and said that they did not have freedom of speech. No, we've allowed them to promote their propaganda all across the nation. They can have whatever radio station they want. They can have whatever magazine they want. They've even got the media. They've got the educational institutions, but it's not enough. They're not interested in equality because the devil, he doesn't want to be equal to God. He wants to be above God. He's not interested in sharing the throne. He wants the throne for himself. And I will tell you right now, they're not interested in equal rights. They're not interested in just simply them getting to go to a certain kind of bathroom they want. It will not rest until they have conquered, until they rule. They are hostile towards us and they want to put us down. But I have determined within my heart, I will not back down. If I die, I die. But I'm marching on for Jesus Christ and I refuse to go back. I know the hostile against us, but I will set my face by the grace of God to meet the challenge of this hour.
Amen. Amen.
Their belligerence, their defiance, the rejection of compassion and mercy, we will face and we will move forward.
Yeah, yeah.
But this know, that the house they build is a house of cards. And it cannot stand the storm. Glory to God. I don't care what doctrine you have. If that doctrine is false, for a while it may give hope to the people. It may excite the people. It may make them rich. It may thrill them. But in the end, it cannot withstand the storm. It is built upon sinking sand, and it cannot withstand the storm. You cannot build your life on a lie and expect to have an eternal hope. Oh, glory. Jesus said, whoever hears my words and does them, that's the man that builds his house upon a rock. And when the storm comes and the winds blow and the floods come and beat against that house, it'll stand because it's founded upon a rock. And when Jesus comes and it's all over, folks, I'm telling you, this nation's going to reap what it has been destined to reap because of its rejection of God. And the desolation will come. It'll be left a wilderness until the Lord comes back to this earth. But I'm telling you, if he doesn't come, their house of cards will fall. And when the dust settles, they'll be the saints of God that'll rise up out of the dust and build again the kingdom. And the church will continue until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Glory to the Lamb of God.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Stand to your feet tonight. Maybe my shortest message. But that's what I feel led to share.
Thank you.
That's where we are. I believe it.
Yeah.
We need to know what we're up against.
Yep.
Let's not go out in that world with any misconceived notions.
No.
Let's not go out there and expect to get a hug and a kiss.
No.
And an embrace and saying, we're so glad you're here.
Yeah.
When it's convenient, they'll welcome us. But when the tide turns, they'll crucify us.
Right. Amen.
Right.
Woo, come on now.
Yeah.
We're going to face the belligerence and the defiance.
Yeah.
But our face is set.
Yeah. Amen.
They all forsook him and fled.
Yes.
But he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Woo, glory to God. And their words, the three greatest words that no doubt ever come off the lips. It is finished. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. And one day we shall say with the Apostle Paul, I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Glory to the Lamb of God. I'm telling you, that's all I've got to do is just finish my course. I don't have to win the world. I don't have to be a super duper. I just got to be obedient to God and finish the path and my destiny. And our destiny is America. Our destiny is now. We got to face it like Jesus. Set your face like a flint and let's determine to meet the challenge that is ahead of us. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even though we know that judgment is on the way, it may be delayed for a while, but it is inevitable that it will come. And even though we knew we were preaching to a nation under judgment, preach it anyway.
Right.
Because I will tell you that I believe before the judgment, the Spirit fell from on high. And that very city, before it saw the destruction that Rome brought, it felt the fullness of the Spirit and the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm just asking God to do that. And before he brings judgment upon this nation, let us feel and know the Holy Ghost one more time. Let the glory of God shine. Let the power of your miracles be demonstrated. Let them see, oh God, because there's some that will be rescued. There's some that will come to the light. There's some that are looking for something that's alive, something that's real, something that's got power, and they're looking for something that can change their life.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Lift your hand right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, I'm asking you right here tonight, God, that you will help us as your people, as you have spoken to us tonight. You have promised us a harvest. You have promised up a harvest. I'm looking for your power. I'm looking for signs and wonders. I'm asking you, God, to be faithful to your word and to do what you said you would do tonight. God, I want signs and I want wonders. I want your glory, God. Even before you allowed the Roman sword, God, to fall upon the city of Jerusalem and its desolation would come, you, Lord, allowed them to taste the kingdom of God and to feel the power of the Holy Ghost and to know, Lord, your sweet spirit. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Woo, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. 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 How many can say it with this preacher tonight? I'm setting my face. I am setting my face to finish this race. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm on my way. That's what the brother spoke of tonight. I guarantee you in 40 years, Caleb had to set his face. I'm going through. I'm going through. And I'm going to make it. No matter what comes my way. Do you believe that tonight, church? Thank God for his spirit speaking to us. Thank God for what he's doing. Let's come Saturday morning ready to minister to the Lord. Let's pray for our nation. I feel like we yet need a Josiah generation because there's some things that yet need to be done before God brings his judgment. And all the righteous deeds that Josiah did in his kingship and his restoration, God said, I won't bring it in your day, but I'm still bringing it. Too much has been done. I know it. Too much has been done. But God can yet do something among his people. And he can yet save the savable. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's believe that, church. Let's believe it. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's be here Saturday morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God.